That's an appropriate song for us to sing before my lesson. It is my hope tonight to preach from the Word of God, and I believe it is the desire of everyone here tonight to ascend immortally arrayed. We're given one shot in life. So important that we do the things that God would have us to do if we hope to attain heaven. My lesson tonight is a very basic lesson. It's six unconditional promises that God has given to mankind, whether we're believers or not. And these six things are things that are going to take place regardless of the wants and wills of man. There are a number of promises in Scripture that God has given, and some are conditional and some are unconditional. Salvation is promised in Mark 16:16. For Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he who does not believe shall be condemned." The words "believe" and "baptize," those are conditional. And the belief and baptism, those are the two conditions set forth in this passage. And be saved is what is promised to us. Now, there are other passages that show there are other conditions that must be met. And some are confession and repentance. But an unconditional promise is one that is given with that was given without God stipulating any conditions whatsoever. And tonight we're going to look at six of those, six unconditional promises that God has given us. One of the things God has unconditionally promised is that people and animals of the earth will never again be destroyed by a universal flood. And we look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 11. When God was saying to Noah, he says, "Thus I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And I thank God for that he's not going to destroy the earth with water and flood like it was then, but he is going to destroy the earth. The second unconditional promise is that God is going to destroy this earth by fire. And in reading in 2 Peter, in verse 3, or chapter 3, starting in verse 10, Peter writes here, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Many times as I go to work, I try to be in a good mood and have a happy, cheerful word for everyone. And people have said, "You know, how can you be in such a good mood?" Because I know where I'm heading in life. And also, I look forward to Judgment Day. A lot of people that don't have God as a center in their life, they tend to shy away from that thinking. And they tend to think, well, there may be something else out there. There may be something different. But like I said, we get one shot in life. And I try to encourage everyone I work with and people I study with to look at God's Word as the final authority as to how we are to live our lives. Although God has promised that he will never again destroy... I've kind of lost my train of thought here. The third unconditional promise that God makes unto us is death. And death comes to all people. And it is appointed for men once to die once, and then after this comes the judgment. And again, as I said, there are so many people that are looking at this life as though they're going to live on forever and ever. And they never give a thought to their eternal resting place. Some people feel that they're going to just die and then that's going to be it. And there will be no tomorrow. There will be no resurrection. But my fourth point points that Jesus will come again. This is an unconditional promise that God has given to us. Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I often think about that. I think about today's life. how difficult it is for us, you know, day-to-day living, day-to-day working. And we know that we have a home in heaven, that we're going to rest from our labors, that we're not going to have to continue to get up early and go to work and deal with the difficulties and challenges of getting older and things that this life presents to us. To be at home with Jesus, that is my thought. That's my goal. The fifth point I'd like to make tonight, the fifth unconditional promise that God has given to us is the resurrection of the dead. And speaking about Jesus coming again, let me read out of Acts, the first chapter, and starting in verse 9. Those things that God has promised to us, they're a sure thing. Starting in verse 9, in the first chapter of Acts. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into the heaven will come again in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Jesus also says that we need to be prepared, need to be ready, because we do not know the hour in which his return will be. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is coming for a certain purpose too. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ, is salvation. Jesus says here, Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. There will be many on that day, which will not be a joyous day for them. They will not be happy to see the return of Jesus Christ. There are many that deny that he ever came the first time, and they have little doubt in their hearts that he will come again. But he will return. My fifth unconditional promise that God has given to us is that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Jesus says, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And again, as I said, these are things that God has promised. These things are going to take place. And people may deny it and may not intellectually accept the things that are revealed in God's word, but nevertheless, they are going to take place. And they are going to take place, I believe, very quickly. The sixth, and I want to read one more. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This is Paul speaking. And Paul clearly teaches that there is an unconditional promise for the resurrection of the dead, both those who have lived a just life and those who are unjust. And speaking of the judgment, which is my sixth unconditional promise that God has given unto us, God has promised a judgment unconditionally, and Jesus will be that judge. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Had someone say to me the other day that, that depends on your definition of good and bad. And I wonder if it's the next one on here. There it is. I said, God has taken care of that. He's given a definition of what is good and bad. Jesus says in John, the 12th chapter, verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. God has given us a standard in which to live by, in which we will be judged by, and that is the words of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. The commandments that he has given us, the instructions he has given us, those are the things that are going to judge us. Whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not, that's what will judge us on the last day. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is at the judgment seat at the in heaven. When the books are going to be opened, this is going to be the final judgment. It's taken in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and he who sat upon it, for whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from these things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. When I think about that, each one of us can, in our own mind, draw a picture of what's going to be taking place. The one thing that I see is that there is no second chance at that time. Jesus said that when he returns a second time, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. So whether people accept Jesus Christ in this life or not, they're still going to recognize him as Lord. And they're going to bow the knee. But the second time, it's going to be too late. There will be no second chance. When I talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I think of Brother Joe Greer in Africa, speaking now at this time to people who maybe who have never heard the gospel of Christ or have never heard about the Bible or anything like that, and speaking the same thing, who Jesus was or who Jesus is and what he has for us. He is the Son of God, and he brings forth life. And that life that we can have is through that sacrifice that he made on the cross for us. He paid a price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. And only through acceptance of that price and acceptance of that sacrifice can we have a hope in heaven. This scene taken from Revelation, when I see it and I recognize the second death, the lake of fire, it does. It should sober anyone to think, where am I going to spend eternity? Am I going to spend it with God in his presence, or am I going to spend it in eternal torment? I truly believe one of the things that are going to be tormenting people is memory. They're thinking about all those times, opportunities that they passed up, whether it was because of ignorance, self-imposed, or pride, or laziness. They're going to think about that, all those opportunities they had that they passed up. That's my lesson for tonight. I know it was a short lesson, but it was one that I look at the promises that God has made, the conditional, but I also look at the unconditional ones. These are ones that are going to take place regardless of what we do in this life. They're going to take place. The best we can do is to prepare ourselves so that we are there when Jesus does return, eagerly waiting for him, wanting to be with him. The song that has been chosen, here it is, 573, Can You Count the Stars? We haven't specifically talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I started off with Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the beginning of salvation. We believe and then we act upon that belief, what we've been taught. We confess, we repent, and we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And that starts our first day, our first walk with Jesus Christ. And then we are to live faithfully for the rest of our lives, doing the best we can and going to God in prayer when we fall short. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the congregation or would want to take advantage of the opportunity presented to them, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.